So could you start out by introducing yourself?
My name is Sylvia Rodriguez.
And you're an anthropologist?
I'm a professor of anthropology at the University of New Mexico and a native northern New Mexican who studies ethnic relations and social change and land and water and tourism and expressive culture, primarily in the Upper Rio Grande Valley.
Thank you. So some of my questions, I wanted to know if you could kind of explain what culture is, if that's possible, and of course if it's not, then...
So are you being recorded as well?
I will cut myself out.
Okay, so culture is a big term. People talk a lot about culture. Anthropologists talk a lot about culture. And years ago, there was a book by two anthropologists that talked about all the definitions of culture, and this was in the 50s. And I don't know, there were like hundreds of different definitions. People talk about culture sometimes as if it were a thing that could be lost. And sometimes they talk about what culture consists of, like food, language, ritual, things like that. Anthropologists first started out defining culture sort of as people's ways of doing things, and often came up with a kind of inventory of what consisted of culture. But we've had a lot of debate about the nature of culture and whether our initial definitions of it that sort of talked about it almost as if it were a unitary, bounded thing that showed continuity through time. We've sort of moved away from that. And I guess I would say more simply that culture is what people do, how they do it, and the meanings that they give to it, how they talk about it. It's virtually human behavior and practices, and it changes. It's not something you lose, although people talk about losing culture as if it were a thing. It's a thing that's constantly changing. And so you could point to particular food customs or beliefs or other kinds of artifacts, social or physical artifacts, and say those were culture. But culture sort of includes all of those things.
Okay. Could you talk about the connection between land and culture?
The connection between land and culture, I guess, would depend on what culture you were talking about. Obviously, people live on the land, and they make their living, at least agricultural peoples and other peoples as well, from the land. How different groups of people think about their relationship to where they live and to the things with which they make their living varies from place to place. So I wouldn't say that there's a single relationship between culture and land. If you were to ask me what's the relationship between culture and land among Spanish people, Spanish-speaking people in northern New Mexico, that would sort of point me in a direction, or between Pueblo peoples of the Upper Rio Grande Valley or something like that. It's a little easier to pinpoint. I assume you're asking me about the Upper Rio Grande Valley of New Mexico, and I would say, well, that there are many kinds of peoples who live here and who have throughout time, and some of them have been nomadic and some of them have been agricultural, and now many of them are urban and they live through industrial or post-industrial means. But if we're talking about farmers and ranchers, Spanish-speaking farmers and ranchers, as well as Pueblo peoples, I would say the relationship, first of all, is that they use the land to make their living. And they develop practices and rules and techniques for making their living. And they have meanings that are expressed through language, but through ritual, through creative forms that often symbolically or directly talk about their relationship to land. Which is often, but not always, synonymous with place. So the relationship between land and culture is a complex and variable one, really. One thing that I've seen in the last 25 years, during the time that I've been working in northern New Mexico, is that land is increasingly becoming a symbol of identity, of people's identity. And this is something I think that happened in the 20th century. almost as people's connection to their land or their ownership of land or their access to it was threatened or cut off, land began to acquire a kind of symbolic meaning that was different perhaps than what it had been centuries ago. One example would be the Taos Pueblo people's relationship to their sacred Blue Lake and the kinds of ways that they came to talk about it in the context of their struggle to have it returned from the Forest Service, the way they talked about Blue Lake, where a certain place became synonymous with their continuation as a people and with their religion. And I think perhaps some similar things have happened in among Hispanos or Nuevo Mexicanos in the last 40 years or so. For example, the Alianza Land Rights Movement, the land grant movement. Both the activists in that movement as well as scholars who began to investigate the history of the land grants of New Mexico began to explain the poor economic conditions and some of the social conditions of the rural peoples of northern New Mexico by their loss of land under the American system. So there was a connection between people's prosperity and their ability to sustain themselves and how much land they had and how they were using the land. So it was a very material relationship, but at the same time, the land became a symbol. So I think if you look at how land grant activists or Chicano activists or contemporary cultural nationalists talk about land, it takes on this other symbolic meaning. So I think land and ideas of homeland gain ascendancy almost as they're actually threatened.
Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little about the culture of the Acequia?
Well, the Acequia system of New Mexico, I don't know whether you want me to go into the history of it. I mean, this is...
Whatever you would... I mean, the history is always helpful.
The system of community irrigation practices that you see among traditional Hispanic farmers and ranchers, as well as their Pueblo neighbors today, goes back to the colonial period. The Pueblo peoples had their own indigenous ways of managing and capturing and harvesting water, and of course they were accomplished farmers. When the Spaniards came, however, they brought with them a whole body of law and technology for diverting water, allocating water through a system of canals, managing and organizing the creation of these systems and the management of these systems and the ways in which people could participate in them. They brought this with them, and this had come from Spain, and it was of Arabic origins, came through Mexico to New Mexico, and the Pueblos originally, of course, had it forced on them, but they incorporated it, and it changed their ways of farming, and it also created relationships. One of the ways in which relationships of first of all, exploitation, but then increasingly cooperation and competition, which are, I think, connected with each other between Spanish-speaking peoples or Mexican peoples and the Pueblo peoples. These ways, these irrigation communities or acequia communities still exist today, and they're still operating, and they're increasingly threatened by a variety of changes that have taken place. And even though a lot of the people who are still on the land and who still irrigate it and grow crops are no longer primarily dependent on agriculture for their living, it's still a part of their domestic economy, and it's still very much a part of who they feel that they are. Their sense of who they are is tied up with their connection to place, their connection to the land, and their ability to control to manage water as an autonomous system within their communities. And so increasingly they're mobilizing and forming coalitions to defend their water rights. And it's in the context of a lot of the changes that threaten their ability to hold on to their land and water that they're mobilizing, and in which they're developing a kind of language for making explicit connections between place, land, identity, and culture. The acequia systems are every sort of local community in northern New Mexico and in parts of other parts of New Mexico divert water off a main stream through a system of canals. The main canal is called the Acequia Madre, and then off of those are other ditches that go to people's lands, individual landowners, and they become members of the ditch who are called parciantes. And even today, the acequia system, which involves the parciantes and the ditch posh or the mayordomo and elected commissioners, is one of the main organizational backbones of the local communities. They're not often these villages and communities are not municipal entities. They're not incorporated. And so it's really the ditch system, which is a system of cooperation, a way of allocating the water, controlling its flow, settling disputes, maintaining the system physically, that brings people together. So it not only makes sure that their land gets water, which makes it possible historically for them to survive and today for them to continue to irrigate and to develop crops, to grow crops, but it keeps them connected because they have to meet to maintain the ditches, they have to help clean the ditches, they have to be in touch with each other about the way of dividing the water and who gets the water when, which is what the mayordomo determines. So it's not only the material infrastructure of their subsistence, their historical subsistence pattern, but it's also the organizational core of many of these communities. There are other organizations that are important, parish organizations, sometimes the moradas, the lay penitente brotherhood is often also a way that many of the members of these communities stay in touch with each other and maintain their cooperative, interactive relationships. So the acequia systems of New Mexico have a lot of different aspects to them, but they're central, I think, to these communities and to the people's sense of who they are or what you would call their culture.
And, you know, going back to something that you had said, that culture, we kind of hold on to culture and feel like it's a thing that we could lose. Why is culture, you kind of explained it just now, but why is culture so important to us that we feel like we can lose it, that we clutch onto it,
I think in a way, in the context of the last several decades where you have a changing economy, a changing demography, you have a kind of real estate development that has escalated the price of land and has encouraged and will increasingly encourage the separation of surface water, irrigation water from the land. You have people who historically, of course, lost land with the coming of the American system when a lot of the land grants were lost. And I'm speaking of the Spanish-speaking peoples primarily who've been in New Mexico for many generations. There's a sense that the loss of the land led to impoverishment, led to displacement, dispossession, leaving the original communities in order to get jobs. So there was a sense that the land was the basis of people's ability to make a living. When they lost the land, they lost the ability to make a living. Of course, the economy was changing anyway. So I think in each successive period of history, there have been different forces that pulled people away from agriculture. In the context of the land grant movement of the 1960s and its aftermath, which was influenced by things that were happening nationally and internationally, as well as by the Chicano movement, I think land became a way of... Land also, as I said, became a symbol of culture, and culture became a way of talking about the land. In other words, when people talk about, people will say, if we lose our land, we will lose our culture. So land becomes a symbol of culture. And so when they say we were losing our culture, in a way they were talking about losing their land. But often they mean by that that the traditional life ways that were part of the life in the community, ways of subsisting, ways of irrigating, ways of farming, of taking care of animals, of using the products of their harvest, ways of sharing them, ritual forms, ritual practices, a lot of religious practices, as well as language. All of these things in New Mexico, but I think in places all over the world, land-based peoples feel they are losing, and they're losing them partly because in many cases they're losing their land base or their water base, but also because of the forces of globalization, which are really transforming all local economies and incorporating them into a system that's so global in its force that it's changing people's relationships to each other and to the places that they came from. I don't know if that's answering your question. I mean,
it is. It brings up more questions, and I hope you don't mind that I...
Sure.
Okay.